Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. Luckily for me, I brought some OGs on the podcast to help us out because I got the therapy, but I had to bring the OGs. As always, got K. Scott. We don't have Rojo with us, but he'll be back. He's in the City of Angels. I don't know if that's because it's holy or that's just because the name, but he's in the City of Angels.
And the City of Traffic.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a City of Traffic. Yep. And he'll be back shortly, so he's not going to be with us today. But I also got Jason. Jason, how you doing, man?
Good to see you. Hello, fellas.
All right. Well, we got another question from a teenager. Now, this one's pretty simple and basic, but it was open-ended and vague enough that I thought, you know what? Let's elaborate on this because I had a couple things I want to say in this. And since everyone on this podcast, I think it's a requirement to be a host or a co-host on this podcast, you had to sit on the therapy couch. And I'm not saying it's the therapist, but you had to get some therapy.
Therapy, without a doubt, man. And I love this question, actually, because I feel like you mentioned, we all go through this and we've all probably thought about this at some point. And so the question today is, if therapy is so needed, then why does it seem so scary?
Okay. Well, I don't know if any of you guys listening to this have ever heard this before. It's been said in different ways by different people. So this is not like, you know, a David Koslowski exclusive. But the way I'm going to say it's going to be my version, but you know, the thing about talking when we're talking about ourselves, when we're talking about our insecurities, our fears, our missed opportunities, our mistakes, maybe our sins, right? If you've done something really bad, the biggest thing about all that is that we know if those things were heard, in the wrong way, if they were portrayed in the wrong way, if people just saw a small sample of our worst moments or our fears, insecurities, that may not be really attractive. That may not draw people towards you. That may not want people to be around you. So what I'm getting at is that our deepest insecurities, the things we're ashamed of, we keep those really stored away in dark places. We don't want those to see the day of light, because if people see them or if they get out, they may be ahead of us, meaning it may cause people to think certain things about us just by hearing those things without them even knowing who we are. Or it may cause someone that thought they knew who we were to hear things like that about us. And that could be very scary. So there's this natural firewall inside of our system that's trying to protect us from letting those things out. But it's pretty odd, though, because the only way to heal from hurt and pain is you have to get the hurt and pain to the surface, meaning you got to get it out. And so to the short version of the answer to that is, like, why is it so scary? Why is it so uncomfortable? It's because it's us. And it's because it's the world that could know. It's people that are close to us that can know. Our reputation, the way people might think or feel about us could be altered or twisted or changed based upon one piece of information. And we've all done it. So when our brain's like, oh, don't say that, don't go in there and don't talk to that therapist, because most of our life, we've been feeling like, man, if I air my dirty laundry, if I put my deepest, darkest secrets out there and people find out about that, that could be game over for me. And so the risk of that seems like it's too much. And so most people keep a closer chest. So even when people want to go to therapy, and I always laugh at this, by the way, I don't laugh at their face when they come see me the first time, but this is not my first time. It's not my first can of Copenhagen, not my first rodeo. So I'm sitting across them, they're like shaking their pants. Or even some people are smiling, really big smile, playing it really cool. And I'm just sitting here going, yeah, this is your life. You're scared to death. You have a lot of anxiety, a lot of fears, a lot of worries, and you're doing it anyway. So bravo to you. I just give everyone props off the jump. Just the fact that you're here, it's like getting to the door of the gym. Everybody owns a gym membership, pay for it every month. We all got shoes. We all got shoes. We all got shorts. We got workout clothes. But to get to the door and open the door to get in, that's the hardest part.
It is.
Right? Everybody talking with their friends like, damn, maybe I need some therapy too. Maybe this could help me out. Oh, you really should. But it's like, you got that number. And a lot of people just like staring at that number. Mm-hmm. So when we put ourselves in those situations, give yourself some props, give yourself some attaboys, attagirls, whatever. Be like, you know what? I'm scared to death and I'm going to do it anyways. So basically what I'm saying is, to be scared of that, it's actually, it'd be weird if you weren't scared of that.
Good to be scared. Good to face the fear. I say, you know, when I first went into the therapy session that I booked for myself, and I was older, I was in my 30s was my first real therapy session outside of when I was like a little kid having to go through some stuff as like a 7 or 8 year old. Because I did speech therapy and other things, which is interesting because now I'm a professional speaker, so that did work.
Hall of Fame.
When I was in my 30s, I finally went in there. And here's the thing, you're just worried that your persona is going to be broken down, that the perfection you've been trying to let everybody believe about you is about to be had. I mean, it's taking the mask off, and that's the fear. It's stepping through the ego and getting to a place of healing. And there's nothing more important to somebody who's willing to go into the therapy session and be like, what am I doing here? Or this is scary. I don't want this guy to think I'm a dork or this woman therapist to look at me differently. Let me tell you, as somebody who's been on the other side of the couch, who's listened to a lot of people spill their guts, I can tell you, I'm most proud of somebody and most impressed with somebody who can actually take that mask off and share. I mean, it's like, especially in a situation where it's even like a confessional in a faith setting, where you're sitting there like the person spilling the beans of their sins, and you're like, I am so impressed that you're willing to let go of that. You're willing to put that on something else, somewhere else, somebody else. And so, yeah, it might seem scary, and it is, and it should be. But facing that fear is what will relieve the pain in order to find your happiness and joy. And I'm grateful for those chances I've had, but yeah, you have to face that, and it's scary. It's about your ego and putting it aside.
You know, let me ask you a question about that, Jace, because, you know, obviously you went when you're really young, you went when you're older, because the young person that's asking that sounds like they're planning on going, right? Sounds like, you know, that's, it's something that they want to do. Is it possible to really want to do something and be scared to death simultaneously?
100%. No question. I think the things we want the most, we're the most scared of.
Yeah, because like, it means something, right? And when it means something, you got something to lose.
That's right. Yeah, the hardest things I've ever accomplished are the scariest. I mean, I was just thinking about that the other day while I was riding my bike home, and I was like, man, I need to ride my bike more. And then I thought, this is hard, though. I'm riding up a hill. I mean, I'm sweating and it's sunny and I'm hurting. And I was like, I feel good about myself. You know, the hardest things we do are the things we look back on and say, man, that was the best thing I ever did. And so
yeah, that's true. Sorry, I made a catch up. That's true. I've never heard someone say, oh my gosh, man, that 30 miles on my e-bike was the hardest 30 miles of my life. It's like, I really did about a half a mile, you know, I really 29 and a half miles on the e-bike energy. And then I put it about a half a mile, a good strong half mile in, you know, in between switching gears.
Dude, it's the best when you're like, my e-bike is out of battery, but I still got some left. I can get up this hill. That's
still got that J-bike, huh? I still got that Jason bike.
J-bike, watch out. Hold on, here, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. What are some of the thoughts? Because I know you've been to therapy, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, going back to what Jason said, you know, it reminds me of the movie The Dark Knight. Right. Jason was talking about taking off your mask, and
he does look like Bane a little bit, huh? Jason looks like Bane. Jason. I'm just kidding.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit like Bane.
Just clawing out, you know. And so, you know, when it comes to, you know, taking off that mask, I remember about a couple months, I went back and rewatched all the Batmans. And for so long, Batman feared bats. But it wasn't actually the bat that Batman feared. it was him going to the play. Well, it was the bats that he feared. So he went to the play. He seen some bats on the thing, and the bats let them leaving the play early, going into the dark alley, and that's when his parents getting killed. Yeah. Right. So it wasn't the fact that it was the painful emotion of his parents getting killed. It was the painful emotion of the bats triggering that act of him parents having to leave and going to the dark alley and then them dying. And so he conformed into the being the bat to overcome that fear so that it can give him power. And so when Jason was talking about taking off the mask, that's all I was thinking about was just, I know it's weird and it's cliche, but being Batman, like conforming to what's driving that pain and emotion, because like Jason said, on the other side of that pain is your breakthrough. And so, you know, that's so early on for me, it was tough because I did not want to think about all that pain that was caused before. And I can only imagine once I peel this scab back, it's going to continue bleeding. It's going to be hurting. And it's going to even take longer time, you know, to heal up. And so for anybody that's out there, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna suck to go through therapy, but the payoff is that much greater, because even though, like, once that scab is pulled off, like I mentioned, like that scar that's right there, it's a scar that you came, you went through it and you got through it. That's what I look at it and view at it as. So like, therapy is scary, but it's weird, it's a good scary. Like, I love thrillers, so like, it's a good scary movie, I should say.
Oh no, I like that, the whole entire, just to take the pain, the all that, because I tell a lot of my clients, I said, this experience can be, I don't tell them all this, but some of them I say, it's going to be rough, it's going to be a relief, and then we're going to rinse, wash, and repeat. It's going to be rough, there's going to be some relief, we're going to laugh, we're going to joke, then we're going to say, why does it have to be this way? And then we're going to keep on going, right? Yep. Just keep on going, keep that momentum. And therapy, like anything else, to add to what you and Jason said, and to help this young person or anyone who's wondering, therapy, like anything else, it's consistency is king and queen, right? Like, if you go work out once every month, okay, it's better than nothing, but you're probably really not going to get the benefits from it, you know?
Right.
If you do anything periodically, it's just like a hobby. You're just kind of like playing footsie with you, just pitter pattering with it, right? but when you really sign up and you're like, okay, every week I'm doing this, or we're like, and I'm not saying everybody, like all my clients, like when they come to therapy, we're very consistent in the very beginning, like a couple months, we grind out, then we kind of piecemeal it to more like moments that it's really needed, right? But in that very beginning, the initial phase, it's hard to continue doing something that pushes back. Because it really does. Like, you'll throw personal stuff out there, and then you'll have a therapist, you know, assuming they're a good therapist, they'll give you some information that's like, oh, but that's not easy, or, you know, that means I'm gonna have to talk to my parents, I'm not happy with them, or I have to apologize to someone, like, oh, it's gonna make me look stupid. Yeah, you know, that's true. That, I mean, I think that comes with what you guys have both said. It's just like, you got to put it out there. The good, the bad, I mean, whatever it is. And that way you get to kind of piece it apart and see what file it goes into. Most people have a lot of their thoughts, feelings, emotions. They're just all discombobulated all over the place. And if therapy can do anything, it definitely help you organize the chaos. Helps you organize, like what should I start with first? You know, is my biggest issue really my biggest issue? Or is that the issue I feel more comfortable saying is my biggest issue? Sometimes our biggest issues are those little things creeping in the background that we don't want to go there. We don't want to get down to the deep, deep stuff. We just want to just kind of deal with the surface stuff. And that's okay. That's a good start. But just know you're going to have some rough times. You're going to have some, you know, times of relief, you know. But if you embrace it like the Batman, like you talked about, and you embrace the same way Jason talked about, shit, you're going to keep on doing it. If you keep on doing it, you're going to get better at anything you keep on practicing. If you keep on practicing avoiding something, you're going to get a PhD in avoidance. Right? A lot of youth run out there with PhDs in procrastination.
Heck yeah. Dude, you're dropping bombs here, bro. And, you know, I never thought about it as a consistency piece, but, you know, the therapy that I've found has been the most helpful is when you do, you know, front load it and you go a lot and you talk and you get this thing moving. And then all of a sudden you kind of step back and you go, okay, how do I piece life back together? And what am I doing? And what are my habits? And then you revisit, you know, it's almost like graduation, and you, you've, you laugh and you have a good time with the therapist. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, now here's the next level to get to the next place. Mm. And then you just start cranking through that. And yeah, I think it is that consistency, returning time and time again. And I remember when I was in high school, people would be like, yeah, my therapist said, and I'd be like, you go to a therapist? Like what, you know, like I was like, wow, how do you get to be that you would go to a therapist as a high schooler? And then I thought, man, I wish I knew that was an option. You know, like it was for me, not a judgmental, like, oh, that person doesn't have their stuff together. It was more like, wow, I didn't even know that was an option. And so it's really interesting to hear somebody be like, this is what my therapist and I talked about, and this is what I'm going through. And I'm like, I wish I knew I had somebody I could talk to like that. That's really cool, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, I hear it all the time now in high school. When you said that, it made me think about it. There isn't a negative connotation for the most part that I'm seeing when teenagers are talking about like, yeah, well, I have a therapist, I'm going to see a therapist. I mean, the barriers to entry for kids to acknowledge that and state that and claim it as a good thing are very few nowadays. Very few. In fact, a lot of times, I don't know if they'll get praise for it, but they'll get definitely like a, okay, well, I'm paying attention. Now you're interesting. Now, yep. Now someone's like going, oh, you got enough problems that you need to be going to see a therapist. Before it's like, what's wrong with you? Now it's like, oh, maybe you're more interesting than I thought you were. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know if that's going to, because my fear is that there's not enough good, qualified, experienced therapists to be able to facilitate everyone that's seeking therapy. So my fear is that you're going to get more people flooding the market, wanting to get therapy, not getting really good, solid therapy from someone who's been well coached and trained throughout the years and has good experience. And then it may turn that tide a little bit, but for now it's definitely not a bad thing. At least from what I'm hearing from people, people are much more open to talk about that. Have you guys found that more recently in recent years that people see if you say, I'm going to therapy, that's less of like a, ooh, and more like, a, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I seen the waves. Like you mentioned, a lot of people are saying, it's like a, what can I say? It's sort of like a, like I mentioned before, like a badge of honor. Like, man, I go to therapy, and it shows people like, man, he must care for himself if he goes to therapy. Not as a, you go to therapy, it's like, oh man, he likes to take care of his social health. That's what I look at it as.
Taking it serious, right?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
You know, I'd have to say, I'd have to add to it for, you know, 20 plus years I've been married now. And I remember 20 plus years ago, somebody be like, yeah, we're going through a bad spell in our marriage, we're seeing a counselor, we're having, you know, going to marriage therapy, and we'd be like, oh man, how bad does it have to get?
Right.
That's how it felt 2 decades ago. But now we have friends that they're like, yeah, we just went to our marriage therapist, and we're like, oh man, they're working through it. That's awesome. I admire them. Like, it's a total flip from what it was traditionally in the minds of most people. It's pretty cool. Yeah,
it is really cool.
Badge of honor. That's what, like you say, okay, Scott, that's right.
It is really cool, Jay. And I actually just yesterday were at some, like, somebody's house. They had a pool, like family friend or whatever. And, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, not feeling all that great. Didn't really want to feel like talking to anyone, just kind of in the shade or whatever. Then of course people, oh, hey, what do you do for a living? Sometimes I don't say what I do for a living, 'cause I don't want to get into those conversations.
Oh yeah.
And I say I'm in sales. And they go, oh, really, sales? Like, you know, just boring, you know, just curriculums of like selling education products, stuff like that. And I just kind of make it, leave it there. But yesterday, for some reason, I said, I know, I'm a therapist, marriage, family therapist, you know, do counseling type stuff, psychology type stuff. And they both were like, no way. Like, and they both looked at each other, and they were kind of like in their 30s, kind of like, you know, like a kind of an America type couple, you know, I mean, like America, you know, and they both stopped and like looked at me, and they looked at each other, and their countenance changed. And they said, I really respect that. That's really cool. And they looked at each other with the softness, and they go, we actually started going to therapy like 3 or 4 months ago, man, it's the best thing we've ever done. And they just kind of had like a moment and pause and looked at me. was like, you know, I didn't really get that too much back in the days. It was usually people trying to diagnose their spouse. Like, will you tell my spouse he's got this or that? And he doesn't believe it. But don't you think that, you know, just like a doctor, they see someone in the restaurant, like, hey, what's this thing on my side of my shirt, doc? Like, I got this leech over here. Is this a stigma? No, that's just a wart, sir. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just a wart.
That's
a
your wart. Nipple.
Yeah. But I hear that a lot. And yesterday was just a good example of it. Just, I mean, this was a couple, you know, tattooed up, kind of, you know, tough around the edges. Not, you know, not saying they're unattractive people, but they just look like, you know, tough. And as soon as I brought up that, they were like, oh, there's like, all of a sudden they had this, like, we would have never known. And then the dad, the grandfather is sitting right there. He's like, yeah, nobody did that back when I was coming up. We probably should have.
Yeah,
we probably would have probably saved us a whole lot of heartache. So to the person that answered this question, the fear is real, but there's proof in the pudding, meaning the facts is you're going to learn more about yourself, your environment, what matters to you, what doesn't matter to you. And if you can cut out all that nonsense, or at least a small portion of that nonsense early on in life, woo-hoo, you just dodge a whole lot of bullets right there. Mm. You don't got to date someone to figure out that they're crazy and you're not. You know, you don't got to be in a bad relationship to figure out, like, I can't save this person. You know, you can figure a lot of those things out on your own.
Right. I love what you said. Just, I know we're about to end it off, but man, I love what you said earlier about organizing the chaos. That was well put. I love that phrase, organizing the chaos.
Well, man, it's pretty chaotic in our brains and our lives. A lot of people sit there and smile and they go, okay, I'll just do whatever he tells me to do. And then they're unhappy. So yeah, they have no order in their chaos.
I love it.
Well, thank you guys as always for being here on the podcast, listening to us and answering these questions. Thanks to my OGs on today's episode. And once you remind them, K. Scott, where they can listen to these episodes and where they can find us.
Yeah. So if you guys are on the Instagram, please like, comment, and share at og.therapy. Please, if you feel impacted by these episodes, please share it. And also, if you have Apple Podcasts, you go to OG Therapy Podcast, and there will list all our shows. It was previously Like the Fight, but now it's OG Therapy Podcast. You can be able to see all the episodes. We post 2-3 times a week, so you can stay up to date to there. And please, if you do listen to it, please give us a rating. We love the feedback on it. So write a review, like, subscribe, share whenever you get the chance.
Unless you hate it, then forget to give the rating. Just skip that part.
Yeah, skip it.
Nobody needs that. You're good.
Right. For real.
And they can follow me if you want to follow me on Instagram. It's David_KOZLOWSKI_Jason, how can they follow you?
Yeah, Instagram, Jason Hewlett, or just jasonhewlett.com.
That's H-E-W-L-E-T-T, right?
That's it. Yes, sir.
All right. And that's okay?
Yeah, for me, it's Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can find me at @kscott_2, and that's where you'll find me at.
Boom, boom. All right, you guys. Well, thank you very much. And you guys know, when you're struggling, you got hard things going on in life, maybe you got some difficulty, challenges with your friends, your family, your loved ones, and all those challenges got you down on your knees saying, please, baby Jesus, full-grown Jesus, Buddha, Allah, whoever you're praying to, no need to worry because you got your OGs. We're going to help you figure those things out, give you some good, solid suggestions and ideas. And until next time, be cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.